Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we want to talk about discipleship, and we've talked about discipleship many times, but I want to talk about it in the words of Jesus to us today, in the words of Scripture, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I want you to hear what the Lord is asking of us. And I want to share with you some things that one of my favorite commentators, Merikakis, has to say about this passage from the Gospel of Matthew. So let's take a look first at the reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, as your fellow workers, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. God holds out grace, that is, a sharing in his very life with us. In all of our circumstances, the good ones and the difficult ones, he holds out grace to us. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, God is giving you grace for a particular purpose. Are you going to respond to him? Or are you going to choose to go the way of sin? Or are you going to listen to him and to do what he asks? For he says Paul's letter to the Corinthians, for he says, in an acceptable time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. God will always hear and God will always help. It's our job to listen before we act, to listen before we speak. It may only be moments, but that our ear be attentive to the voice of our Savior, the quiet inspiration that comes from within. Paul says, behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now, this moment is the day of salvation. We cause no one to stumble in anything in order that no fault may be found with our ministry. Woo! We cause no one to stumble in anything in order that no fault may be found with our ministry. So I have to do, Paul is saying, what God wants me to do, so that no black mark comes on our ministry, so that people can find true faith, so that people can believe that what we're saying is true. If I say one thing, however true it might be, and my actions in relation to other people or other situations say a vastly different thing, what are people going to believe? The words that I said or the actions that I performed? Our actions and our words and our thoughts and our intent all have to be one. And a lot of times they're not. A lot of times we're divided from within. And that affects how the grace of God can work through us. Paul says, behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We cause no one to stumble in anything in order that no fault may be found with our ministry. On the contrary, in everything we commend ourselves as ministers of God through much endurance, in afflictions, hardships, constraints, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, vigils, fasts, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, in unfeigned love, in truthful speech, in the power of God. Can you say that? I hold this mirror up to myself and I fall short. Do you fall short? God is asking us, all of us, to draw closer to him so that when we speak, our thoughts, our words, our actions are in conformity to his. And you say, well, I can't do that. I'm too busy. I've got too many other things. If we orient ourselves in that direction, if we turn whenever we think of it and make a habit of it throughout the day of turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, I love you and I want to do your will today. Then when the circumstances come up that are challenging, you'll know what to do and you'll have the strength for it. So let's cultivate a habit of this. Paul goes on to say that through much endurance and afflictions, hardships, constraints, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, vigils, fasts, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, in unfeigned love, no pretense, in truthful speech, in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness at the right and at the left, through glory and dishonor, insult and praise. We are treated as deceivers and yet are truthful, as unrecognized and yet acknowledged, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. It depends on how you look at a person. Do you look with the eyes of the world or the eyes of God? Are they rich or are they poor? How about you? How about you? God wants from us clarity of intention. He takes care of the rest. But he wants our intention to be good. I have to turn to the Lord many times a day and sometimes repeat the morning offering. Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. For all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and for those of the Holy Father. Lord, may my every thought and word and action bring you praise and glory, and may it bring help to others. You really can orient your life, and when you choose by your will to orient your life in that kind of a direction, the Holy Spirit will accompany you, and he will lead you and guide you. It's really true. I don't want you to miss it. But it takes some time of really letting him be Lord of every part of you, of every relationship, of every activity, everything. Psalm 98 tells us that the Lord has made known his salvation. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. It's not just the victory over the entire world, but it's the victory in your life. That your life be more and more dedicated to him. And the Gospel, chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 38 to 42. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." That was the justice of the Old Testament. And in other words, you couldn't require more of someone than they had taken from you. It had to be an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In other words, that's a form of justice that was part of the Old Testament. "But I say to you," says Jesus, "offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow." Now that, you say, "No, wait a moment. I get taken advantage of." Yes, and sometimes prudence tells you how to handle that. Yes. But what Jesus is after is mainly an attitude that doesn't try to strike back. "You took my eye, I'm going to at least get your eye gouged out." And that's what we do. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't satisfy anything. But Jesus says, when someone tries to take something from you, give them more. And you say, "Now, wait a moment." But that's the justice, so to speak, the justice of God. There would be a lot less pain and suffering in this world if we stopped and thought when we have been hurt and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do about this? How do you want me to handle it?" It can lead to conversion for the other person if we do it right. We always have to ask God, "What is God asking of me here?" But oftentimes, and I think more than we understand, oftentimes God is saying, "Do what I do. Turn the other cheek." Listen to what Mary Cuckey says. Do not take a position over against evil. Do not entrench yourself in resistance as your response to evil. The Lord who came into the world precisely to conquer evil here teaches us an astounding strategy. Defeat evil by surrendering to it. Triumph over evil by yielding it the right of way, by allowing it to triumph over you. Is this not cowardly? Is this not a catastrophic course of action? Or worse still, is it not treachery to the very cause of God, which is the service of truth itself? Shall we let evil become rampant in the world by offering it carte blanche? Would this not be tantamount to becoming an accomplice of evil? Good questions. The examples that follow Christ's injunction make it clear, however, that far more courage and selflessness are required to be a disciple than to fight violence with violence and evil with evil. The Lord knows all too well that much of our militaristic idealism against evil and on behalf of the truth can be the pious mask for self-promotion and self-righteousness and the satisfaction of the brute human craving to win. I got him. By golly, I got him back for what he did to me. How often is that our reaction? Jesus is offering us another way. We think we are serving God, whereas our real enterprise, our real motivation, hidden sometimes even from ourselves, is to make ourselves appear greater in our own eyes and those of others. Think of how much we boast. Oh, I got him. I got him back. I took care of him. Yes, you work for justice, but you don't work by an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what Jesus is saying. There's another way to do this. To respond to an action with an identically mirrored reaction that is evil for evil is to lock the human situation of animosity into a hopeless impasse. How many times has that happened? How many people do not speak to one another in families? How many former friends turn away from one another? Because we repaid evil for evil, and it only encased us. It only locked us in darkness. It only locked us in anger and bitterness and hatred. Merikaki says, it is thus to frustrate the work of God whose deepest endeavor is the restoration of man to a state of harmony in the truth. The principle of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth does indeed stimulate us to become aware of the need for justice, but it cannot be the last word. If I pluck out your eye because you have plucked out mine first, then the world is short two eyes instead of only one, and we will soon have a society of blind men. I'll continue this tomorrow, but take a little time today and think about where you're seeking revenge or where you're locked into an impasse in a relationship. May God bless you and lead you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.